But sometimes, as when you become an adult, people will say to you, "Oh man, you're so childish, and you play too much, and you this and you that. Man, you need to grow up," and things like that. I know people have told me that, especially now that I'm the older I get, the more less serious I am. As a kid, I used to be called an old man all the time, all the way up to about I think high school. I was called an old man. My family used to call me little man when I was real, real little, and I was always really, really super serious. And the older I got, the less serious I got. And sometimes we think because we grow up that we can't think like a child or have childlike faith or have childlike thoughts in order to enjoy life, in order to be adults. And that's not true. And sometimes we get like that, especially us as Christians, we get like that because of some of the things we read in the Bible and we misinterpret. I mean, we misinterpret. And in 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 13, verse 11, I think that's where a lot of people get things misconfused and taken out of context when it comes to being an adult. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, it says, "When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me." Now, what that's pretty much saying is when you get older and you mature, you like for instance, like my youngest daughter is 5 now. She didn't always talk like a normal adult. She talked baby talk. All of us at this stage had to learn how to talk. And we had to learn how to walk. And we had to learn how to we had to learn how to go to the bathroom. You know, it's funny. Sometimes people look at me funny sometimes when I don't have my daughter around. Say, like, "Oh man," they'll hear me say, "Oh man, I gotta go potty." But you know, even terms like that, things you do and say, like you say them in a different way. You do things in a different way. And when you grow up, there are certain things that you stop doing as a child, like you don't wobble, or unless you're drunk or unless you're drunk or on something, you don't wobble around, and and yeah, sometimes yeah, when you get older, you start, you know, your bones start acting up. But my point is that sometimes we get that mixed up. And yeah, you do get rid of child ways. Like you don't think like you used to think. You don't talk like you used to talk. You probably talk a little better. You probably think about things more clear. I know my dad used to always when I was a kid, he used to always say I was impatient. And now I think I'm a little bit too patient sometimes. But when it comes to having faith in a relationship with God as adults, sometimes we forget that we are his kids. And to him, we will always be his child. I know as a parent, and my parents said it all the time, especially my mom. And you hear parents say that to your kid, to their kids when they become adults, like, "Boy, girl, you're gonna always be my child, okay? You're gonna always be you always gonna be my little boy or my little girl in my eyes." And that's how God looks at us. We're always gonna be his kids. We're always gonna be his child. And sometimes we and it's a lot even it's a it's even a lot deeper than that. What we lose a lot when we become adults is, and it's important, and it becomes very important, and it's gonna be very important as I go through this series. You'll understand it a little bit more. But we lose something called innocence and imagination. And a lot of the power that you have when it comes to faith has to do with having an imagination and that innocence. I know when you get as you become an adult, you get older, you lose that innocence. You start seeing the world for what it is. You start seeing people for who they really are, and we start to look at things through a worldly scope. And God looks at things totally different. What I love about kids is the way they do look at things, and they do look at things and look at people and situations as God will look at them. And sometimes we get so stuck in being an adult that we forget that. And in Matthew, I'm gonna go to Matthew chapter 18. I'm gonna do verses 1 through 4. I was at first just gonna do verse 2 through 4, but I was like, I read and started reading it, and I think it's important for this particular topic to add that verse 1. But anyway, in Matthew chapter 18, verse 1 through 4, it says, at that time the disciples came up and asked Jesus, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he called a little child to himself and put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you repent and become like little children, you can never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever will humble himself, therefore, and become like this little child is the greatest in the kingdom." So what he was saying was, you can't, he pretty much said, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven unless you become childlike. That's deep. He's saying the greatest person, the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is a child. You have to. And that's coming from Jesus' word. That's coming from Jesus' mouth. You have to be a child. And for some of you guys and some of you guys, Bob, you might have side notes. I know for mine, like I have side notes, and I'm gonna read this to you again with the side notes. But before I get to the side notes, this was a discussion. So the disciples was having a discussion with Jesus, and they was like, "Man, shoot, man, I really want to know who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." They was, picking Jesus' brain. And of course, as an adult, they was thinking something else. They was thinking something totally different. But let me read this verse to you again as I get ready to close this up. In Matthew 18, verses 1 through 4. At that time, disciples came up and asked Jesus, "Who then is really the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he called a little child to himself and put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you repent," which means to change, turn around, make a difference, unless you change and you become like little children, trusting, lowly, loving, and forgiving. Let's stop right there. Trusting, lowly, loving, and forgiving. I know for me personally, and I know a lot of people have, when you become an adult and when you reach that adulthood, you get burnt by a lot of people, and you get burnt by a lot of people. If you go to church and you're a believer, you get hurt by other Christians, and it's hard it's hard to move on and continue life and to be happy and to have faith when you can't trust anything. And that's pretty deep. I mean, if you can't trust, that's another, if that's one big thing that you gotta have when it comes to faith and when it comes to it and empowering that faith and using the power of faith. You got to be able to trust. And I know for adults, that's hard for us to do. I think about kids again because, I have a 5-year-old, and a lot of kids, they trust quickly and they trust everything and anything. And so it's always, you always got to be careful. You always hear that. You always got to be careful what you do and say around kids because they imitate everything. Because they trust everything that's around them because they're so innocent. And the other thing is loving. When you don't trust and when you've been hurt, it's hard to love. And the other one was forgive, and it's hard to love. All these things are hard to do. When you're in that mindset of an adult, was like, well, that person hurt me, so I can't trust them. I'll never love again because this person hurt me, and I'm never gonna forgive them. God commanded these things. Jesus himself spoke these things. Like, if you're not like little children, and you're not trusting, and you're not lowly, and you're not loving, and you're not forgiving, you could never enter the kingdom of heaven. At all. There's not no one. Maybe if you do the trust, I'll let you in. I'll hook you up. Or maybe if I do, maybe if you, go around loving on people, but you don't trust nobody, you ain't forgive that person that hurts you, then yeah, I'll let you in, man. You ain't, I'll let you in if you do like one of these two things. I know my daughter cracks me up sometimes when it comes to eating, because she's like, okay, Dad. She'll like, she's like, okay, Dad. I take 5 bites and I'm done. I'm like, no, you gotta eat everything else in order to watch TV or to get a dessert. You gotta eat all your food, not just 1 or 2 bites. Okay. So she's willing and dealing. But I digress. But in closing, I want to read that last part of Matthew chapter 4, and it says, whoever will humble himself, therefore, and become like this little child, lowly, loving, forgiving, is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I want to encourage you guys. I know I've been for the past year or so, and especially the last couple of months, I've been really seriously practicing this and changing my attitude at work, when I'm around people, just in general. And because of these things, because I realized in order for me to get in heaven, I have to think like a child, which means. And I'll talk more about this in the series, which means you got to be able to imagine, use your imagination too. Having imagination is not a bad thing. God created us with an imagination for a reason. And I'm going to talk more about that more during the series. But you got to have an imagination, and you got to, in closing, I just want to encourage you to start doing these things. Start using your imagination. Take away a little bit. Try to gain that innocence back that you had as a kid. God gives you a discerning spirit, so he's going to show you and tell you who's right and who's wrong and who you not should be hanging around with. And sometimes he uses people all the time, not sometimes, all the time. God uses the people that usually end up hurting you for you to become a better person. So, those hurt things and those bad things that you think are bad things in God's eyes are really not bad things. It's just sharpening you. This is your boy Sel, 2 Cents of Faith. Happy Friday to everybody. Happy birthday to my little big sister. She don't like to me to call little, so my younger sister, Veronda, happy birthday. Love you. This is your boy, Sel, 2 Cents of Faith. I'm out. You guys have a blessed day. Today, I'm going to talk about claiming things. As a kid, I think about as kids. Have you ever been whoever has siblings? Because I know there are some people that
never had siblings, or even if you had cousins or anything like that. But as a kid, you used to play this game when it's time to go somewhere. You would play this game when it's time to get in the car. You get dibs on the front seat. Like, I got front seat. I got front seat. I got front seat. And then you go and run, and you go and run, and you jump in that seat, and you claim it, and you get it, and it's yours. And sometimes, yeah, if you have an older sibling or older cousin, and you're the younger one, sometimes you might have to fight for your life to get that front seat. But you claim it, and you claim it, and you go after it, and you get it. Speaking things into existence and speaking your needs and your wants into existence is a very powerful thing, and it's very real. A lot of people, especially these days, we take for granted, or we overlook how powerful claiming your needs and want is. But then there's the flip side, where people never claim anything, anything never happens, and they wonder why their life is a certain way, or wonder why nothing's never happened to them, because you didn't claim it, you didn't go after it, you didn't try to do it. And the most important thing when you're claiming stuff is you got to have faith, and you can't just have. There are people that are not Christians that believed and have faith that they would be millionaires, and they become millionaires. But if you want to receive your blessings, if you want to claim things, your needs and wants, and you want it in a overwhelming abundance, you got to have faith in God. There's no way possible not to. Especially if you want it in abundance. I'm going to read to you a scripture here, and it says, "What is the use, my brother, for anyone to profess to have faith if he has no works? Can faith save? If a brother or sister is poorly clad and lacks food for each day, so also faith, if it does not have works, by itself it is dissolute of power." Let me read that again, make it a little clearer. What is the use, when you're thinking about a profit or a gain, what is the purpose of that? And for anyone who possesses to have faith, and they don't do any works, and they're just like, "Oh yeah, I faith, I believe in God," and they're just going to sit back and just do nothing, just sleep all day. You can't do that. You got to go after it. You got to go after it. And if you don't go after it, if you don't work for it, there's no power behind it. And that's what I just read was James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. And that's exactly what it's talking about. It's like, if you don't have the power, if you don't put in the works, you don't have the power. That's where the power comes from, is from you putting in the work. I know a lot of you probably heard that saying, if you don't work hard to get what you want, you're not going to get it. And I remember my dad used to tell me all the time as a kid, like, "You never know if you don't ask." That was his favorite thing. Like, "You never know if you don't ask." And that's true. You never know what God will give you if you don't ask, if you don't have faith. And you might not know. Let's just say, for example, you're like, "Hey, I wanna have this particular career
when I get to a certain point in my life, I want my career, my life to be this way. If you don't work for it, for example, when it comes to retirement, it's kind of a joke nowadays. But back in the day, you know, you get a job and you stay at that job for a long time, you get a nice retirement package, but you have to work for that. You didn't work a couple of days and then quit and then get your retirement or things of that sort. You have to put in work to get it. And that was something that wasn't even claimed. That was something that was automatically going to be given to you after you put in the work. So think about that also. You're putting in work, there's going to be some blessing behind it. If you want to be successful and prosperous without having work, it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. You got to claim it. And most important part is you got to speak it into existence. And that's the thing we forget when we say we have faith and we're putting in the work. Because sometimes you can have faith and you can put in the work and you sitting back and you're like, what happened? What's going on? What am I doing wrong? If you're not speaking things into existence, if you're not putting it into existence, it's not going to happen. And as I close, here's some ways that you could put things into existence when you're claiming something. Write it down. Write it down on a piece of paper. You can write it down, stash it somewhere, go back and look at it. Or I know I've done it. I have, and I'm still doing it now. I've written down some things that I wanted to accomplish and that I wanted to do. And I stashed it. And I also take down and you guys seen, if you've been following me on the podcast, you've seen that I have episodes in there where I give out different faith chants. You know, that's speaking it out. You give, you say what you want and need, and you just keep speaking on it. Sometimes I keep speaking on it. I speak on it, and I write it down a lot. You know how the teacher used to have you, you know, back in the day, if you acted up, you had to write on the, you have to write 100 times on some paper or on the chalkboard. I will not act up in class. I will not act up in class, or I will not do whatever. You have to write it into existence. And sometimes that works, because I ain't writing that 100,000 times no more. So that I will not became true. Same thing when speaking things into existence. Write it down. Present it to your angels. I'm not going to get deep into speaking into the angels. That's a whole nother episode. That's a whole nother topic. But speaking it into existence and presenting it to your angels and writing it down, you know, talk to your angels. Ask God, like, God, bring it. Can you and your angels please help me achieve this goal that I want, you know? And you got to believe it. You got to believe it. I mean, that's one of the easiest ways for you to lose power. If you don't have faith and then you don't believe in your faith on top of putting in the work, you got to believe it. The other thing is what triggers a lot of people, because we don't think about this, is your vocabulary. You know, if you want to have money, and you want to make a lot of money, you can't go around saying things like, oh man, I'm broke. You know, I'm broke. I can't do it. I'm broke. I'll get you next week, or we can go kick it next week or go hang out some other time. I'm broke right now. You can't say that. You're hindering your blessing and your finances when you claim to be broke. Now, if you're putting in the work and you're living paycheck to paycheck, but all your bills are getting paid, you're getting there. You're climbing. You're getting closer to what you're claiming is actually happening, actually. And then, because there's going to be times where this happens to me, like, you know, I'm claiming stuff and I don't know how I'm gonna pay for things when it come up, but somehow there's somebody always either gives me something or all of a sudden there's extra hours or extra routes I could pick up to make extra money. So you speak those things into this. Like I said, I'm going, a perfectly good example as I close is I spoke this into existence constantly and I didn't know it was going to happen, but my grandmother, we celebrated her 80th birthday back home in Indiana. And I said, I'm going right now. You know, I'm living paycheck to paycheck. I don't know how I'm gonna pay these bills, but I'm going. I ended up going. There ended up being a whole bunch of stuff I had. It was routes, a couple extra routes opened up where I could make some extra money. There were things that happened where there was a situation with my landlord where he took, well, I helped him out and he took money off the rent. And so I had extra money there. It was just after one thing after another started coming in because I claimed it and I said, I'm going. And it's not the first time I said I was going somewhere and I went and I didn't have any money. So it's things like that when you start, as I close, I just want to encourage you, if you want, even in your wants, I know people, a lot of religious and Christian people say, oh, you know, God only gives you what you need. That's BS. He'll give you what you need and you want, and he'll give it to you in abundance. If you claim it and you believe it and you put in the work. This is your boy, Sale. A little bit, 2 cents of faith. I'm out. God bless. Get my podcast going. There we go. So, also, in continuing of claiming things, when you start claiming stuff, some things will come to you in dreams. Some things will become really, really clear in dreams. The Bible talks about all the time, and stories in the Bible all the time of people having dreams, and some of their dreams are prophecies, and some of their dreams are ideas, giving them ideas and looking and regarding to and looking into their future. And when I was thinking about this, and I when I came up with the title, we're gonna have a little fun with this. one of my favorite artists and musicians is Steven Tyler. Man, just an awesome dude, a bad dude, in music in general. And I think about the song that he wrote when they was in Aeros, when Aerosmith was, actually, this was a time where, actually, you know, I'm not gonna get into that. I'm starting to get into music. I'm starting to get excited. But anyway, Steven Tyler, Aerosmith, wrote a song called Dream On. And I was just gonna, I just put in my notes to read out the lyrics to it. And then I started reading the lyrics and I started thinking, like, what was he thinking when he wrote it? So, I Googled and found out, now this is according to, Song Facts is where I found this information. And so according to them, in regard to explaining to, Steven Tyler explaining this song, why he wrote it, I'm gonna read to you what he said, how he explained what was going on in his mind when he wrote Dream On. So when Steven Tyler wrote this, he wrote it and it was about, he said it was about, I'm getting old and blind here. There we go. Let me read it there. How about I just bring this a little closer? Sorry about that. So Steven Tyler, when he wrote Dream On, he said it was about the hunger to be somebody, to dream until your dreams come true, he added. This song sums up the crap. I'm not going to say what he said. Well, I'm going to say it. He said, this song sums up the shit you put up with when you're in a new band. And Errol, and there was a couple of band members that Aerosmith didn't like when he said this. But and he goes on, he said most of the critics panned our first album and said we were ripping off the Stones. That's a good barometer of my anger at the press, which I still have. Dream One came of me playing the piano when I was about 17 or 18, and I didn't know anything about writing a song. It was just this little sonnet that I started playing one day. I never thought that it would end up being a real song. So that blew me away. That I did not know. I did not know that, you know, this song was something that he was just playing around with, and he never expected it to even become popular or become a song. Let me read the lyrics here, because I thought the lyrics was a lot, but it's really not a lot of lyrics. So I'm gonna read them to you because I got time. And the lyrics of the song Dream On is, so it starts, some of y'all, a lot of y'all might know this by heart, but I'm going to read it to you anyway so you can get what was going on. And for those who don't even know who this is or this song was, I'm going to just read the lyrics to you real quick. It says, So here's the lyrics to Steven Tyler's Dream On. Every time when I walk into the mirror, all these lines on my face are getting clearer. The past is gone. It went away like dust to dawn. Isn't that the way everybody's got the dues in their life to pay? I know nobody knows where it comes and where it goes. I know it's everybody seeing you got to lose, know how to win. Half my life is books, written pages, live and learn from fools and from sages. You know it's true. You know it's true. Oh, all these feelings come back to you. Sing with me, sing of the years, sing of the laughter, sing of the tears. Sing with me, sing for this day, maybe tomorrow the good Lord will take you away. Y'all know how that goes. Yeah. So you probably wonder, like, what the heck does that have to do with what you're talking about today? It has a lot to do with what I'm talking about, because God gave us the ability to dream for a reason. And yes, God gave us that ability. That's one of the most powerful abilities he's given us, is the ability to dream. And a lot of people try to hinder you from dreaming and living out your dreams and having faith in God, but you can't let them. And this is why. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell his dream. But he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, says the Lord? What does straw have in common with wheat? When I did this, this was deep. And this is from, and I just read from Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 28. And I'm gonna read that last part to you again, because that blew me away. It says, the prophet who has a dream, let him tell his dream, but he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What does straw has and common with wheat? And the answer is nourishment. So if you put your dreams and faith together, it become the what the power is nourishment. It nourishes you, your dream. Like, no, most of the everything we're looking at, the inventions, the jobs that we have, the clothes on our feet, the shoes that we wear. Somebody had a dream. Somebody dreamed it up. Somebody came up with the concept or the idea, and everybody benefited from it. And that's a cool thing about living out your dreams and going after them. You never know what you can change. You never know what your dream or what your invention and what or whatever that dream that you spoke into existence that you actually made come true might help somebody or help or even help you. Is like the scripture said, faith, dreaming and keeping God's word and being faithful with God's word. What they have in common is nourishment. And, you know, everybody's been hungry before. Everybody's been thirsty before. You know, when you hunger for something, you get that food. And I love food. I think about all the different recipes and good food that's out there. Somebody dreamed that up and put it into action. And there's tons of stories in the Bible where God sent an angel in a dream, or he appeared in a dream himself, and either it was a prediction about something that was going to happen, or it was an idea, or it was a warning, and things of that sort. So my encouragement to you is to do just exactly what the words in Steven Tyler's song, and encouraged by what I just read about what God said about faith and dreams. Dream on. Is the way Steven Tyler, dream on, dream on. So I just want to encourage you guys to, it's biblical. Don't let anybody tell you that dreaming and following your dreams is not biblical and is not of God. It's very much of God. And that's one of the things that how your faith can overpower is when you're dreaming and when you live out those dreams. This is your boy Cell, 2 cents of faith. Y'all got a double dose today. If you guys are watching live, you got a double dose today. But God bless. Have a good day. Yo, 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 this is your boy Cell, and you know, last segment I was talking about, and I was encouraging us to dream. Well, what happens when we don't allow ourselves to dream or live out those dreams and make accurate predictions? This is what happens. I'm going to read to you from 1 John 2, chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. It says, whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him, there is no occasion for a stumbling or cause for error or sin. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walking in the dark. He who strains and does not perceive or know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Sometimes when it comes to living out what God wants us to do and doing things according to his will, some people can't handle that. And some people get caught in the world, and get caught in this, I call it, they just get caught in that dark place. And you know those people, they're always negative about stuff. They're always just not happy. Always saying, just saying off the wall, crazy mean stuff. And sometimes if you allow those people in your life and keep those people close to you, I like to say, if that's the type of people in your circle, it's going to be hard to achieve your dreams. It's going to be hard to do anything in life, because what happens when you're in darkness or people around you are in darkness, it decreases your power. It decreases your power and your faith, because now you're focused on so much negativity and so many other things that has nothing to do with what God wants you to do or accomplishing what God wants you to do or just accomplishing your dreams and your goals in life. Those type of people are big hindrance. I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time talking. Those are the type of people that really hinder you. And I didn't want to do this segment, but it's important. It's still important to know, because I've been trying to stay more positive. And this segment is supposed to be in one of those positive series where it's very encouraging. But we have to know the bad when it comes to, and when it comes to having power and the power of your faith. And this is a big power decreaser, is living in the darkness. And I'm gonna go back to 1 John 2:10-11. It says, whoever loves his brother abides in the light, or lives in the light, and anybody who believes in his brother. So if you believe in a person and you're living in a, I'm trying to, man, this one is hard. Okay, I'm gonna just get it out. Stop being around people that are negative and that are living in darkness. If you're not strong enough to help them out, leave them alone. Get yourself to that point where you're strong, because you don't want to have your power increasingly deteriorating or getting less. You want your power to become stronger and stronger and stronger. And the only way you can do that is to lift people up and to think positive and do positive things. You can't think positive things and do positive things if you're surrounded by people who don't want to do positive things and who don't want to lift you up. It's like that old saying, like crabs in the bucket. All the crabs are trying to get out. Instead of helping each other get out, they pull each other down. Like, if you're going to stay down here with me. And you can't allow that to happen. I've been a victim of that, where, you know, I would be around people that were negative, and it was a hindrance. It was a huge hindrance and stressful, because they don't see the power of faith. They don't see the power of living out your dreams. They don't see the benefit of that. They benefit in making other people stay down and be with them. And then you begin to stumble. when you're around that. You begin to stumble. You begin to you don't think right. You don't walk right. You don't talk right. Everything is done differently. And man, this is hard. This is so hard because I don't really, man, this is hard. But I'm going to continue to read in 1 John. I'll read the last little bit of that, verse 11. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walking in the dark. He is straying and does not perceive or know where he's going because the darkness has blinded him. And you've seen that, or you've been in that situation. I'm hoping nobody's still in that situation where they're walking in the dark and they're stumbling and they can't really see because they're so blinded. Oh, here's a perfect example. As I get ready to wrap up, when you think about love and you think about falling in love and you get so, and I touched a little bit on this in toxic relation in my series of toxic relationships. And you could be with a person and you could be so blinded by the love and the lure of lust and things of that sort that you don't realize how much darkness you're in, how toxic this person is, how bad this person is for you because you're blinded and you're so unaware of what's going on. And it's funny how, and like I say, I've been in that situation too. It's funny how you look back and you like, wow, you know, I was really stupid. Like I was really like, what the heck was going on? Like, why didn't I see that? Cause you were being blinded. Or you could be like me and can see it and just keep dealing with it. That was my downfall. God revealed stuff to me and I just kept staying in it because I thought that's what I deserved. And I had to realize my value and my worth and realize like I deserve better, you know, and I can do better. And I just want to encourage you guys as I get ready to wrap up this series I just want to encourage everybody to eliminate. If you're living in the darkness, stop living in the darkness. If you're around people that's living in the darkness, it's always just negative and it hates everything. Especially it hates everything that has to do with God. You know, leave them alone. Change your circle. I've been saying that a lot to people. Tighten up your circle. And I just want to encourage everybody to do that, to walk a different path and don't be afraid to walk out on faith and do those things that God's called you to do. Man, this is your boy Sal, 2 Cents of Faith. I did not want to do this, but this was very important to do because it's very important to know how your power can be decreased. So you can know how to continue to increase it. So this is your boy Sal, 2 Cents of Faith. Stop living in darkness because it decreases your power. I'm out. So I just want to begin by saying that it's very beneficial and very important speak into somebody's life, to speak good things into somebody's life. It could be very, 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 very powerful, very impacting on a person when you speak good things into their life, when you prophesy. And sometimes we forget what comes with that. And sometimes we don't know what comes with that. And a lot of people go around saying, oh, yeah, I'm a prophet. You know, I'm this and that. And they speak things into existence, into your life, but they're not doing it correctly. One of the things you got to do is you got to have You got to have faith, not just in yourself, but in that person that you're prophesying to. You also have to receive a prophecy from God. It could be delivered through a dream, praying. I know that happens a lot to me when I actually get in deep into my prayer and meditation. Certain people's names start popping up in my head. I get certain instructions from God on what to do in certain situations, or he gives me something to go say to somebody. Sorry about that. So yeah, it can be also be an angel. A lot of people don't talk about that. A lot of Christians don't talk about that, but your angels are very helpful in many different ways of helping you with your life and helping you help somebody else. But what we forget is there is a difference between the two. There is a difference between the two of prophesying and there being a prophecy. And what a prophecy is, I just giving you just a basic dictionary definition. And what a prophecy is basically, first of all, it's a noun and it's a prediction. A prophecy is a simple prediction. This is very important for people to get and understand. A prophecy is a prediction. Now, a prophesy is a verb. That means you have to prophesy. You have to put it in action. There has to be some work done. And it's a verb, and it means to say that something will happen in the future. Some specific thing will happen in the future. So now, when you get an understanding of prophesy and prophecy, there's no prophecy ever originated because some human man or some man willed it, but he can only speak it through God. You can only prophesy. A true prophesy can only come through God, and it comes through God through prophecy. And a lot of people get that confused, very confused. I had it confused for a minute. It's still a little confusing, but like I say, to prophesy, I mean, you just when you put it into action, and to have that prophecy is something that's put in you, and you can't really truly prophesy without having God. And in 2 Peter verse 1, 2 Peter, yeah, that's what I'm looking at. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 21. It says no prophecy ever originated because some man willed it. It came. I cannot read today. So let me go back. For no prophecy ever originated because some man willed it, but men spoke from God who were born along by the Holy Spirit. So after you receive the prophecy, you then can use your gifts to prophesy to someone, to speak good things into somebody's life. And in Romans 12, chapter 6, it says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given us, let us use them accordingly to the proportion of his faith. Use your gifts. So now you got the understanding what's the difference between prophesying and a prophecy. Now that you, once you receive that prophecy from that prophecy from God, once you receive that prophecy from God, be it spoken to, like I said before, by in a dream, in your prayer, or by one of his angels, one of his helpers, then you can go into prophesying to somebody. And this is biblical. So it's not like I'm just, you know, pulling this out of my butt and saying, oh, man, you can't, you know, people can't go and just prophesy things. Well, they can, but it won't be real. It won't be true. There's people that go around and say, hey, you know, they're prophesying, oh, that person is never going to amount to anything, or they might prophesy like, yeah, something might, you know, it'd be something negative or something's totally crazy. And what really gets me is, especially, it's been happening a lot lately. It just cracks me up is how people actually believe and freak out and go crazy when these people prophesy about the world coming to an end. And the reason why it cracks me up, because God specifically says when he's coming, and he doesn't give us any detail or any time of when he's coming. He said he's just going to come like a thief in the night. You know, a thief in the night comes swiftly and he comes quickly. He's in and out before you even notice something was going on. It's like, whoa, what happened? So that really cracks me up, how people will believe these prophesies. And then some people even have the nerve to say that, oh yeah, this was from God, and God, you know, revealed to me that the world is going to come to an end on this day and at this time. It's just a bunch of foolishness. When Jesus said himself, God said himself when he was coming and how he was coming. And you got to be educated. You got to be on top of your game in order to prophesy to somebody. As I get ready to wrap up here, use your gifts. I forgot which one it was. Kevin Hart did a special where he was talking about staying in his lane, and he was talking about how he was starting to come up, and he was starting to actually make real money, and he started hanging out with people that was actually making real money, making more money than him, and he couldn't handle it. It was too much, you know. He was faking and doing all this other stuff just to keep up with these other people that was like billionaires. And sometimes when we're prophesying to people, that's what, especially as Christians, sometimes we get out of our lane and start saying and doing things that we know God didn't say or didn't do, just to save face, or just to look good, or to be able to say, hey, I'm a prophet. It's not something to play with. But at the same time, like I said in the beginning, as I close, it's something very, very powerful. And I want to encourage everybody to start prophesying, speaking things into existence. I know I'm, as a parent, and I know growing up, my parents and my uncles and my aunts, they never spoke negative of any of us. They always told us that we're going to do good, and that we're, you know, they spoke good things into us. And we went out and became adults, and I can't say successful, but you get the point. I wouldn't be where I was today, or I wouldn't be doing this podcast if it wasn't somebody speaking and prophesying into me something good that actually came from God, that was actually God's will. I wouldn't even be in Colorado if it wasn't for somebody, you know, saying, hey, you know, God showed me this. And, you know, there's always, even with work, you speak your job into existence that you want to that you want to, you know, move up, or you want a better job, or you want a better pay, you start speaking that to existence, it's going to happen. And if it's really truly meant to happen, God is going to speak into other people around you. That's another perfect example. When I was doing security, I was just working hard. I was just going home and working. And one of my coworkers, there was a position. I was already one of the lower supervisors, but there is a head supervisor position that was open. And he went and told the boss, because they was going to put somebody else there that really didn't deserve it, didn't really work to get to there, just got there and started, you know, hanging out with the boss and kissing up and all that stuff. And he's like, whoa, wait, that's Marcel over there. And he's been doing this and doing that, and he's good at what he do. He'll be great at this position. And they offered me the job, and the job position, I took it. That was many, many years ago. But I'm just giving examples. And especially when I think about kids, now there's schools back in and everything. And as a parent, you know, no matter what your kids do, no matter how they start acting, speak good things into their lives. I told my kids that, and I tell them all the time, you know, and I remember a couple months ago telling my son and my 5-year-old, like, hey, you know, you guys are going to be something special. I mean, and I know my son looked at me like, what? I was like, yeah, you're going to be something special, and you're going to go off and you're going to do great things in life. And I was like, that's not just me saying it. That's from God. It's written. Like the day they were born, God told me, like, your kids are gonna go off and do great things. And you have to speak that into existence. If God gives that to you, I cannot speak today. If he gives you a prophecy, if God gives you a prophecy, you need to prophesy that. You need to speak it into existence. We need to start encouraging each other to uplift each other. There's too much, man, especially in the church now, it's too much doggone hate, and everybody's worried about, you know, to me as a Christian, why are you worried about what Trump is doing? Why are you worried about what everybody else is doing over here? And God is up in your ear and up in your head telling you, hey, you know, do this. Like I spoke on in the other segments that I did this week, the biggest thing is when it comes to your power and your faith, the biggest thing of having that power and having that faith is being able to bring things into existence. And I talked about it before. And as I close, I just want to again encourage you to go in and pray and meditate and listen to God and listen to his angel and hear his voice. And if he tells you to go prophesy to somebody, even if it's something simple as sending a text message or something saying, hey, you know, have a blessed day. I don't know how many times I've texted one of my buddies that I drive with, like, hey, dude, you good? And now he's at the point like, at first he's like, man, how did you know I was, you know, dealing, or I was struggling with something, or I was having a bad day? I was like, man, God showed me in my prayer time, and then, you know, I decided to text you. And now he gets it. Now he, you know, he's a Christian too, but now he's really like, okay, he understands, like, hey, you know, if Marcel asks me how I'm doing, man, he already got something from God. He already knew. So, you know, and you could change that. You could change that. You could change that person's way of thinking. You could change that person's attitude. If they're having a bad day, you know, something just nice, like, hey, you look nice. You know, speak good things into existence. Have a good Friday. This is your boy, Sil, 2 cents of faith. Go out there and prophesy with prophecy. Make sure you get a prophecy from God and go prophesy. I can't talk today. I don't know what it is. I cannot talk today. God bless. Everybody have a good weekend. Yo, it's your boy Sal. Hey, I wanted to do a quick bonus segment here. I didn't get a chance to, and I'm trying to shorten up my times on my podcast. I didn't get a chance to go all the way into depth like I wanted to on my last segment, prophesy with prophecy. I didn't finish the part about staying in your lane, which is very important. The reason why it's very important, because as you get certain, as you realize what certain gifts and talents you have, that's what God is going to use to have you prophesy to somebody. So, for example, if you don't know anything about football and you have a friend that loves football or probably even play football, I'm going to go even deeper. You have a friend that played football on the highest level in the NFL, and God speaks something to you to tell that person, and you don't know anything about football, and you go in there talking to this person about football, trying to get them to that point or understanding that you're trying to prophesy to them, and you just completely lose them. Use your talents. Use your talents. Use your gifts and your talents. And that's where the real power comes when it comes to prophesying, is using your talents, knowing when and how to say things, and using your gifts and your talents to say things. If you can write, if you're a good writer, you know, write those things down. If you can sing those prophecies out. You guys get what I'm saying? And that's what I meant when I said by staying in your lane. You know, don't try, you know, especially nowadays, a lot of people in the church, a lot of Christians try to do too much to try to get people into the church and try to get people, you know, saved and try to get people in love with God. You know, keep it simple. You know, God gave us all different gifts and talents for a reason, because there are certain people that he wants us to reach. And if you don't have those skills, you can't reach them. For example, I always wondered and always asked God, you know, why did you grow me up in Gary, Indiana? Because my personality and how I am is totally different from the atmosphere I grew up in. But being that I was brought up in that atmosphere, and now I can go and I can blend in, and I can go, you know, I'm from the hood. I can go in the hood and blend in and prophesy and speak to somebody, and they will receive it, and they will receive it with respect and honor, versus somebody that, you know, never grew up in the hood, never knew what it was like. I mean, I've seen people go in there and do it, but it takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of effort, and it goes back again to trying to overdo it and not being in your lane. For example, I'm not a skier, and people out here love to ski. So I wouldn't go on a, I wouldn't go up the slope and try to go ski with somebody just to prophesy to them. Now on the flip side, if they invite me to go and they're, you know, it's like, oh, I'm gonna teach you, and we end up, you know, talking about God, and we end up speaking things, good things into each other's life, you end up prophesying to them, then that's different. But if you just go up there, it's like, hey, you know, for another good example, you know, there's people that don't go to the clubs or hang out at the clubs. If you never went to a club or hang out in the club, why would you go in a club and try to prophesy or try to speak good things into a person that, you know, is at, you know, at a club? It's not your deal. So this is your boy Sel. I just want to clarify that, give you a little bonus when it Because your power and your faith decreases if you go out of your lane and you start going out of your way to try to do and try to prophesy to people and try to speak good things into their life. There's nothing wrong with, like I say, you know, keep it simple. It could be something simple as just saying hi, you know, or good morning, or you look nice, or man, that outfit is banging. You know, things like that. This is your boy Sale, 2 Cents of Faith. God bless.